Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
But right now we want to talk hockey because it's been a pretty remarkable week for the Irish women's hockey team, who have reached the quarterfinals of the World Cup with a game to spare. Wins over USA and India mean that they head into tomorrow's game against the Olympic champions, Great Britain, without anything to play for. Well, it's Ireland against England. You always have something to play for and you always have pride to play for. But they are already assured of their place in the quarterfinals, and I'm delighted to be joined on the line by the Team Ireland head coach, Graham Shaw. Afternoon, Graham.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you? How have the last couple of days been?
Yeah, fantastic. Fantastic. Obviously, a real high, obviously, after the game. But slowly coming down and getting feedback on the ground again. And now, obviously, preparing for the game tomorrow against England.
Yeah, that is the difficulty coaches face in moments like this. You've had such a memorable victory against India. You've achieved what you set out to achieve and to reach a quarterfinal of a World Cup. But you're not done yet. You want to go and allow the players to savour that moment, but also not get carried away and see how far this run can take you.
Yeah, very much so. We really come into the tournament looking to enjoy the journey, enjoy the tournament as much as possible. When you chase this for that long to try even get here, it's very, very important that you enjoy every minute of it. So, we let the girls obviously enjoy the 24 hours But then after 24 hours, we need to get back to work and start preparing for England. So looking forward to playing them now in front of a big crowd now tomorrow.
Take us back then to, well, not even the start of when you took over as head coach of Ireland, but your life in sport in this country. And I know you had a varied upbringing in the type of sports you played. You were a teammate of Damien Duff at one stage as an underage soccer player before deciding to concentrate on hockey. How long has hockey been your main focus?
Probably from the age of maybe 15, 16, kind of became the main focus. I think before that, football would have been my main sport. Would have played with Lourdes Celtic from quite a young age. And then also played a lot of Gaelic sports, obviously, in my school. I went to Closhtaine there in Ballyroan and Rathfarnham. So they would have been kind of the two main sports I would have played from, right away up until about 15, 16. But then... my father and family are very heavily involved in hockey, so I think they always felt maybe I was going to go that direction if the other ones didn't really work out or obviously choose differently. So from the age of 15, 16, I pushed into the underage squads, and then, I suppose from then on, it was hockey more or less all the way.
You took on the job in July 2015, and the women's team had suffered so much heartbreak in terms of Olympic qualification over the last two, three Olympic cycles, getting so, so close and then just falling short ever so slightly. When you took on the job, what were the expectations? What were the hopes of what you could do with this group?
Well, when I took them on, it was just straight after, obviously, just failing for the Rio campaign, where I was assistant coach at the time under Darren Smith, a guy from New Zealand. And we always felt we had a very, very strong team. Just unfortunately, as you know, the bounce of the ball just went the wrong way, or it was nothing got to do with the level of the players we had or anything like that. It was sometimes maybe a little bit of luck or maybe just that little bit of experience maybe in major competitions. So when I became head coach, we set out, we'd obviously rebuild a little bit, introduce a few new players, young players in the squad, but we set out to qualify for the World Cup. That was our initial aim, I suppose. Well, in between that, we did have a European B competition. We needed to get back into European A, which unfortunately fell actually 4 weeks after the failed qualification for Rio. So that was a difficult process, but we managed to get through that quite comfortably, to be perfectly honest, and then and won the gold medal over there in Prague. And then we obviously switched our focus to the World Cup, and that's been the focus since I suppose, the September, October 2015. Our focus has been trying to get into the World Cup, which we did, and here we are now.
Yeah, first time in 16 years that Ireland have qualified for the World Cup as well. So when you took over, and it's so difficult for players who've had this dream of going to an Olympic Games and to fall short right at the final hurdle, and as you say, for it maybe to come down to just a bounce of a ball, a moment of luck here and there. How difficult was that? The main challenge, was it a mentality thing to keep the players thinking that, yeah, we do belong at the top table. All right, we've fallen just short, but we're not that far away?
Yeah, I think so. I think this, there was always this inner belief in the squad. It was, I suppose, sometimes when it happens a few times, you do question whether it's ever actually going to happen for you, or is this going to be continued throughout your whole career? We're just going to keep falling at the final hurdle. So we did, we did a lot of work on the mental side of the game. We got a sports psychologist in Gary Longwell from Sinai. Gary Longwell, ex-rugby international, and he's done a fantastic job with the girls and just trying to refocus them. Fantastic job on myself as well, to be perfectly honest.
What sort of stuff have you been doing?
A lot of things initially, because we're not full-time athletes, we'd focus a lot on lifestyle, because sometimes that can hold you back a little bit in your performance when you're obviously worried a lot about external things outside the hockey field, and then that can interfere a little bit in performance. So a lot of it was a lifestyle focus initially. And then again, just looking at preparation, self-belief, individually and collectively. And we would have done a lot of work over that number of years, but you know yourself, I mean, winning creates that belief and creates that mentality. So when we set out to qualify for this, I think we're about 17, 18 games now between the qualifiers and the actual World Cup into this campaign now. So the girls have done an absolute fantastic job, and may long it continue now, hopefully.
And was a lot of that as well focused on not seeing yourself as amateurs, even though when you look at your pool at this World Cup, the other sides, the other countries, they have a fully professional setup. We don't have that. But not to think like that, to keep in the mindset of 24 hours a day, hockey needs to be our main focus, even though you probably have to get up and go to job 9 to 5 as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we have a mantra in our team, there's no excuses. We're not making an excuse because we don't have the same funding, we can't train the same way that maybe our opposition can train. But that doesn't matter. What matters is when we get together is what we do then. And the group have been absolutely fantastic. When we come together and train as a squad, their attention to detail, their attitude, their commitment to what we're doing is just absolutely top-notch. And what we find is actually when we get a run of a few weeks consecutively together, you really see the squad growing together. You see the improvements both individually and collectively in tactical and technical. And I think we've seen that. We've been together now since the middle of May, and the last 8 weeks we've just seen improvements day by day, week by week, and I think you can see that, and obviously now the level of performances over here.
And I guess you can have a bonding experience as well in not having everything handed to you on a plate, of not having the multi-million pound setups that some of the other federations have, of having to come together, of feeling it's us against the world.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it makes you kind of maybe fight for every little bit you do get. And I think that, again, carries on to the field. We fight for every moment. We fight for every ball, every breaking ball. We want to win. Every 1v1 situation, we want to win. And when you have that attitude and you have that togetherness, it can be quite difficult to beat. No matter how hard you've trained, or how much you've trained together, how much time you spend together, how much money you have, sometimes it's quite hard to beat that that fight and that desire just to win games. And I think that's shown over here. I mean, their attitude and how they defend, how they value 1v1 situations. And then when they get their opportunities, obviously they need to show quality down the final end. And I think they've done that against top-level opposition. And as I said, now we're hopefully going to continue that into tomorrow's game against a very, very good side.
I know now you have a good sponsor in Softco who've come on board over the last few months to support the team, particularly heading into this World Cup. But has it been a challenge for you as a coach having to shield the players from the difficulties that you've had to face behind the scenes? And is that something you've almost had to learn as well? I know you've been involved around Irish hockey for so long of having to go out there and put your best foot forward, trying to raise money, trying to get involved in the sponsorship side of things, trying to keep enough money coming in to keep the show on the road.
Yeah, it is difficult. It is difficult, and it has been difficult over the last number of years, because, you know, when a sponsor doesn't come in, when you're doing this every single day, you're getting up and going to the gym and you're doing your running sessions and you're eating and living your life the way you should be, you feel like you should be backed and supported by somebody. And I think, you know, when you're a year searching for a sponsor, it can be quite difficult, because you feel like nobody's getting behind you, nobody's going to support you. So that has been difficult. And just to get Sofco on board, they've been absolutely fantastic, I have to say. I mean, they're so professional in what they do, and that's carried on to and how they've led the sponsorship with us. They've been absolutely brilliant, start from finish, and we're absolutely chuffed that they took a gamble on us, and hoping. I'm hoping we paid them back now in somewhat.
Yeah, I think they're getting value for money at this stage somehow. Is it true that the players were asked at one stage that they almost had to pay to play, that they were being requested to pay something like €500 to be part of this?
Yeah, that would have been the case for many years. Wow. We just didn't have enough budget to go on camps or to go on trips. So yeah, that would have been the case. We'd have paid €550 per athlete. Just to add to the program, to give us another camp or a week away where we could train together and grow and learn as a team. So, yeah, thankfully those days are gone now. But in the past it was definitely very, very difficult, and yeah, I don't want to go back to those days.
Yeah, it's probably a conversation for a different day, and for maybe when you come back and people are realising that Irish women's hockey is on a bit of a crest of the wave, and maybe it won't be an issue again, hopefully not for a long, long time to come, funding. But we've had obviously the release this week of a national sports policy to cover the next 10 years or so. You've been around this for so long. Are you looking at hockey and feeling that it's not being recognised by government, by the proper agencies as to what it can do for sport?
Yeah, it's a difficult one. Listen, we've obviously so many successful sports in Ireland for such a small island, and some obviously fantastic athletes, male and female. So I'm not, Sport Ireland have and Sport Northern Ireland have been absolutely fantastic to us, and we really appreciate the funding and support they give us. Obviously, we'll always be looking for more. We're always, the girls are an elite team and with an elite mindset, and they're always striving for the best and always want to improve. So that's an area that obviously we'll continue to do. We want to be able to spend more time together. We want to be able to maybe train a little bit more full time. So funding is always going to be an issue. But, the Sport Ireland and Sport Northern have been absolutely fantastic. They've supported us all along and even through bad times as well. So, yeah, I think it'd be unfair to criticise or say anything about them. They've done a fantastic job. And we're just hoping now that, obviously, now the increased publicity and the results that we've gained, and hopefully as we continue on this journey, that maybe we can see an increase down the road. But again, it's no excuses. We're not here to make excuses. We know what we're about. We know what the resources we have, and we make do and make the most out of them.
So looking at the World Cup then, your expectations from what you'd seen of the players in your camps leading up to this, was reaching the knockout stages always in your mind?
I think getting out of the pool was always the aim. I mean, when you're ranked 16 in the world, to get into the top 12 would have been a huge achievement in itself, considering, as I said, the level or the amount of time that we could spend together, maybe comparing to other teams. But if I'm being really honest, I didn't think we'd finished top of the pool and entered the quarterfinal after two games. I think it'd be silly to admit that to yourself. But listen, we've got a special group of players here that fight and care for each other, and you can see that on fields. And we're not only just a fighting, battling team. We have a lot of quality in our team as well. You don't get this far by just fighting and running hard and having a strong mentality. You need to have quality in your team as well. And we firmly believe we've got a number of world-class hockey players. And I'm just absolutely chuffed for them, to be perfectly honest, that they've been able to show that on the world stage that this is what they're all about.
I was going to ask that about the style of play in these opening two games. If it was your typical underdog story where you just try and frustrate the life out of the bigger team and hit them with a sucker punch, was that the intention going out there? Was it really just try and grind them down, and then when you have those few moments to show your quality, use them?
Yeah, we do have a big inner belief in our squad. We do believe that we can really push these teams, but yeah, we set out to have a very, very strong defensive structure and then build our attacks off that. And that's something we pride ourselves on. And, I said at the start, we really pride ourselves on 1v1 situations. We pride ourselves on being compact and disciplined and really difficult to beat. But as I said, we do have quality. And once we can get that defensive structure right and we can turn over a lot of ball based on that, then we can build our platform then to attack. and we're quick. We're quite explosive in how we attack. And in the USA game, I thought actually, to be perfectly honest, we probably outplayed them for long, long phases. I thought that was a really, really impressive performance, where we had the USA on the back foot and obviously scored three fantastic goals. India was a little bit different. India, we had to defend a lot more. I mean, the conditions were awful. I mean, I remember looking in the dugout at one stage, it was about 37 degrees.
Right.
And it was awful conditions. And, you know, at times it was digging deep, staying in it, as we call it, staying in these tackles and defending in numbers. But then when you get those opportunities, you got to take them. And we took it brilliantly and then saw out the game. So, yeah, it was two very different performances, but it's there's many different ways to get results. I think we've proved that.
I'll talk to you about the England game and how you might approach that in a moment. But looking ahead towards the quarterfinals and having been around the squad over the last couple of days, like, this is uncharted territory, I guess, in terms of where you are in the tournament, but also in terms of the confidence levels of the players and what they will take from those two wins and the expectations that they have in themselves and the belief in what they can actually achieve. It's all very well you in the build-up of tournament saying we can do this. If we follow our plan, if we all stick together, we can achieve something. You've actually now proved that you can go and do it. And who knows what sort of confidence the girls will bring in then to the quarterfinals.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, to be honest, the confidence level now in the squad is they firmly believe they can beat the hosts on Sunday. We think we're playing at a level now with the confidence and belief in the team that we can we can beat the Olympic champions in their home ground. And we had a team meeting this morning doing a bit of prep, and you can just see it in their eyes. they're ready, and they're ready to go again, and it's exciting, very, very exciting. And then obviously, then, you know, there's no pressure. There's no pressure on this game. We want to perform well. That's the most important thing to us. We set out to improve in every game, and look at different facets of the game where we can improve. But there's a real confidence and real belief, and I wouldn't fancy going and playing against them there.
You're in a Gareth Southgate, Roberto Martinez sort of position when they were at the Football World Cup, where should they put out their full strength team or should they rest players heading into the knockout stages? And there's really no right way or wrong way. If you go on and win your next game in the knockout stage, everyone says you've done the right thing. If you lose, maybe you lose momentum if you make some changes and rest some players, particularly considering the heat you had to play in against India. Have you made your mind up as to how you're going to approach the game and what sort of team you're going to select?
Unfortunately, in our sport, you can't really rest players. The intensity and the speed of the game is too much for players to stay on for long rotations.
So you're rolling subs.
Yeah, so we roll on, roll off. So just to give you a bit of a picture of it, we would tend to, in the defensive line, maybe play 6 minutes on, 3 minutes off, and that's what they would play throughout the whole line. The same in the midfield, it'd be probably 6 minutes on, 4 minutes off, and then the forward line about 6 minutes on, 4 minutes off. So we do rotate quite evenly.
Okay.
We see it very much as a squad effort, and so it's a little bit difficult to rest players, and so we can't really approach it like that. We're going out to put them on the back foot. We're going out with an aggressive mentality to really, really put it up to them and see if we can turn over a ball quite high up the field and ask questions of them. We're not going to sit back and let them invite them onto us and be intimidated by them whatsoever. So yeah, we're going to be quite bullish in how we try play the game, and as I said, try pick up a ball a little bit higher up the field, and then explosively break off that, and see if we can play with the quality again in the final third we've shown the first two games.
A crowd of around 16,000 expected at the game tomorrow, which heaps even further pressure on the English team, I would assume, that everyone's going there with a big sense of expectation and they have to deliver, which is an ideal scenario for you, that you can go in and you don't have that level of pressure, that actually you can relax and maybe, wow, enjoy a game at such a high level.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, there's a little bit more pressure on them now playing in their home ground when obviously they've only got two draws in their first two games. But listen, they're an outstanding team. They're not ranked two in the world for no reason. So, as I said, we believe in our team. We believe in our players, and we believe we can impose ourselves on them. We've played them actually a number of times this year, which I believe we've We played them three times in March, and then we actually played them two times about 6 weeks ago, actually here in the home grounds. Now, we're yet to beat them. We've drawn with them once. But we know them quite well. We know their style of players. We know we have an idea tactically which way they're going to set up unless they go change things dramatically. And we know what to expect. So we're going to go out, smile, enjoy the game. And as I said, try playing the front foot and ask questions of them and see where it gets us.
Yeah, there's no point showing your cards too early in the season when you've got these big games coming up later on.
No, definitely not. I mean, yeah, we kept a few things up our sleeves. Obviously, a few of the penalty corners and a few structural setups. We actually changed a little bit in how we set up since we've played them a bit. So it's going to be a little bit new to them when we play them. They won't have played against us in this setup that we're playing at the moment. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's exciting. Really looking forward to seeing how we deal with the crowd, because this is what we aim to do. We aim to play in Olympic Games. We aim to play in the big games on the world stage, and it's important that we get used to playing in huge crowds with the moans and groans of elite sports. And I'm really excited to see how the players react and how we perform.
So that's 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. It's live, I understand, on BT Sports for anybody who wants to watch that. When then, do you know yet, is the quarterfinal going to take place?
So what ends up happening then, that's tomorrow night will be the end of all the pool games. And then what has to happen is, obviously all the top of the pool, they've all gone directly to the quarterfinal, which is next Thursday. So the crossovers happen on Tuesday. It's a bit of a funny system, just so people understand back home. It's we could actually end up playing somebody in our pool again. So what it is A and B are going to cross over against each other. So we'll actually play the winner of second in pool A and third in our pool. So there is a possibility that we would meet somebody that we've already played in our pool again.
Okay, so you could play India again then.
Yeah, so we could play one of the three. So could, right. I mean, the way at the moment, if you look, India are sitting on 1 point, England are sitting on two, and USA are sitting on one. So it's impossible to say who we're going to actually play at the moment. And the other pool is even more messier. Actually, that result happened last night. Italy now have actually got second in the pool, which is a bit of a shock in that pool as well. So third will play Italy now, and we'll play the winner of that. So, interesting times, and we'll be ready, obviously, come Thursday.
Yeah, it's a nice position to be in. Just before we let you go then, Graham, when all this finishes and you all return home and you look for the momentum to continue and people who've taken an interest this week to come support the team, in terms of Olympic qualification, how's that going to work out over the next couple of years looking ahead to Tokyo?
Yeah, so we play in a World Series now next year in May, June. They haven't actually released the dates yet, and they're going to take place in either Japan, India, or Spain. And then what you need to do is you need to get out of that World Series in the top two. And then in October, November time, then what they'll do is they'll match up the six highest ranked teams that have not won their continentals with the six teams to qualify out of that World Series. Now, it's a very difficult qualification, because what ends up happening is the lower ranked side has to go to the higher ranked sides, so travel to an Australia or New Zealand to play them in two games to qualify for the Olympics. So obviously the higher ranking we get, chance maybe then of getting a home draw.
Right.
And that's the importance, I suppose, of doing well here, well in the World Series next year and well in the Europeans next year. That will then determine whether we can get a home draw. But it's an interesting qualification campaign. It's new to our sport. They've only introduced that this campaign. I'm not sure, if I'm perfectly honest, how fair it is. I'm not that happy about it, to be perfectly honest. But if we can get it quite high in the world, then it obviously it softens a little bit by playing at home. And when you're struggling for funding and things like that, it's not an easy one to go down and play Australia down there in a two game. And when you take into consideration, obviously, preparation and everything that goes with it. So, listen, that's down the road.
Yeah.
We'll focus hard now on what's ahead of us, and then we'll deal with whatever comes with us as I said, whatever's throwing us down the road next year.
Yeah, something to worry about further down the track. Right now, though, is a time to enjoy being part of this setup and enjoy the next couple of weeks and what you can go and achieve tomorrow against England, the Olympic champions, the second-ranked team in the world, and then heading towards that quarterfinal next Thursday. Graham, thanks a lot for your time. Very best of luck. Wish our best to everybody involved in the squad as well. We'll be keeping a very close eye on it over the coming days.
Listen, I appreciate all your support. Thank you very much.
Great stuff. Graham Shaw there, the head coach with the Irish women's hockey team. And that game, remember, against England is on at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. A home game for England. A crowd they're expecting of around 16,000. And it's a must win for that English team. So all the pressure on them. And I think it's live, as I said, on BT Sport.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.